the acknowledging or the acknowledgement of the truth. I'm asking myself this question: have I acknowledged, embraced, discerned, loved the truth? Quite a question, isn't it? What do I know about the acknowledgement of the truth? Verse 1, Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God, a slave of God, a willing bondslave of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, there were only 12 apostles. They were men who God taught them the gospel directly. Paul was brought up into heaven, into the third heavens, and taught the gospel. He took Judas' place. As I said last week, when someone claims to be an apostle, they're a liar. There are only 12 apostles. Paul, a servant of God, and I love the order he puts it in. First, a servant of God. Then, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle means the sent one, the messenger, the one with God's message. And that message has something to do with the declaration of the faith of God's elect, which is according to godliness. I'm going to preach a message next Wednesday, Lord willing, on godliness. That's the subject. But this is the according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after, which is always with godliness. Where there's godliness, where there's true godliness, there's the acknowledgement of the truth. Where there is the acknowledgement of the truth, there is godliness, devotion, reverence, the fear of God. Piety is the Latin word toward God. I love that scripture, and I know you do too. Great is the mystery of godliness. It is great, isn't it? God was manifest in the flesh. How great is that? He was justified in the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit bore witness to the justifying of everything he did toward this great work of justification. That's the message of the gospel. Scene of angels. I love to think about this. Angels. They're so uninterested in much of what goes on in this world. It's not important to them. They're not going to even be watching. But I know what angels watch nonstop every second of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure they were wondering, what's he doing here? Why did he become flesh? And I'm sure they were ready to smite at every moment when they saw the Lord Jesus mistreated, just waiting for the Lord to give them some direction to do something about it. Don't you love when the Lord prayed? Don't you know that if I ask the Father, he'll send 12 legions of angels and wipe this place out if that's what I want to do? He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. That's me and you. Is that great? To be able to hear, to be allowed, to be privileged to hear the gospel of God. He was believed on in the world. Oh, what a great mystery that I believe. That anybody believes. Everybody ought to believe. If you do believe, you're a part of this great mystery. Received up into glory, having accomplished everything he set out to do, and he's received back into glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. Wherever there is godliness, it comes from this great mystery of godliness. That's where godliness comes from. And it's seen in the acknowledging, the discernment, the embracing of the truth. And I love this term, the faith of God's elect. Election is God's sovereign choice of his people before time began. I love election because I love the God of election. The God who elects, the God who is God, the God who exercises absolute sovereign control. Somebody doesn't believe in election. They just refuse to bow to the authority of the Word. Because the Word, there's no excuse. The Word clearly teaches the glorious truth of God's electing mercy. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. What is God's purpose? The salvation might not be of works. I love that, don't you? But of him that calleth. The faith of God's elect. Somebody doesn't believe and preach election, they don't really believe salvation by grace. You can't believe in grace and not believe in election. Paul even called it the election of grace in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Now, you'll notice the faith of God's elect. All of God's elect have faith. That is the evidence of them being elect. They believe the gospel. And this faith is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this faith of God's elect is expressed by these words, the acknowledging of the truth. The evidence of godliness. Have I ever acknowledged the truth? Now, there are 8 different words in the New Testament that are translated knowledge. This particular word is found 20 times in the New Testament, and it always has reference to the knowledge of God. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that's pointless, useless, doesn't do anybody any good. Not this knowledge. This knowledge is the knowledge of God. Now, I'm giving you the meaning I got from the Greek dictionary. It means precise and correct knowledge, recognition, and discernment of the truth. That's what the word means. Precise, I like that word. You got to be precise? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Oh, you're being too precise. You can't be too precise. Precise, correct knowledge of the truth, recognition of the truth, discernment of the truth. You know, this is something that only the elect have. Now think about that. Only the elect have this discernment, this knowledge. As soon as they hear the truth, they know it's so. Turn back to Romans 10 for just a moment. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, there are 2 things that stand out in that verse. One, these people were not saved. 2, Paul greatly desired that they be saved. He didn't have some hard-hearted attitude toward these people. He said, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. May the Lord put that in my heart and your heart. a recognition that somebody that doesn't believe the gospel, they're not saved, and I'm not going to call them saved. But a desire for their salvation based upon a love for God and a love for them. And look what he says next in verse 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're zealous. They're religious. They're very active. They believe the Bible is the Word of God, they'll say. They stand for things in the Scripture. They have a zeal for God, the God of the Bible, but not according to, and here's this word, knowledge. This acknowledging of the truth, same word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, this is the knowledge they do not have, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Lord, you got to save me. I've done this. I've done that. I've performed this work. I've stopped doing that. I've worked out a righteousness that obligates you to save me. I ought to have it. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and submit and going about to establish their own righteousness. You see, if you have any understanding of God's righteousness, you know you don't have any. Now, that's so important. You ever see His righteousness, you'll know dead sure you have none. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, that's the righteousness of God in their damnation. Would God be just and right if He sent you to hell? And they're having submitted themselves to His righteousness and their salvation, being saved by His righteousness. For, here is saving knowledge. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now that's the knowledge He is talking about. There's a recognition. There's a perception. There's a discernment of the truth. Christ said to Pilate, I came to bear witness to the truth. Remember the acknowledgement of the truth? The knowledge of the truth? I came to bear witness to the truth. Does anybody remember what Pilate said to him after that? What is truth? And he meant three things by that. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as absolute truth, that anything contrary to it is an absolute lie? Is there such a thing as truth? He meant, let's say there is truth. Can we know it? Isn't it an act of presumption to say, I've got the truth? Isn't that proud? Can anybody really know the truth? Say the truth's out there. Can we know it? And I think this is what he meant mainly. Truth. Is this what this is about? You're willing to die for the truth? What is truth? Now, the answer to those questions, yes, there is absolute truth. Yes, we can know the truth. And yes, the truth is worth dying for. The acknowledging of the truth. What is the truth? The truth is a person. This is not so much explained as declared. Jesus Christ is the truth. I love saying that. John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We read in John 1, 14, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, wherever you have the truth, what do you have? Grace. Wherever you have grace, what do you have? The truth. And he's full of grace and truth. And We read in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses. Well, the Lord gave him that law, didn't he? Moses didn't come up with it. The Lord gave him that law. The law was given by Moses. Would anyone say there's anything in the law that's not true? I sure wouldn't. The law was given by Moses. I love God's law. This is not to say anything derogatory about the law, but hear what the Holy Spirit says. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, the law is not the truth. It's true, but it's not the truth. The truth is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if all I give is half the truth, what have I done? It's a lie. The law was given by Moses, but the law does not set forth the entire character of God. It doesn't tell us of His grace or His love or His mercy, His way of saving sinners. The law doesn't tell us that. We love God's law. But yet, God the Holy Spirit says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 32, we read these words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not your knowledge of the truth. None of us know the truth as well as we ought to know it. Amen? Is there anything that you understand as well as it ought to be? No. It's not our knowledge of the truth that makes us free. It's the truth Himself who makes us free. The truth is a person. God the Father is called in Deuteronomy 32:4 a God of truth. Without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 33:4 says, "The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." The Spirit of God is called on numerous occasions the Spirit of truth. And what does the promise with regard to Him for us state? He will guide you. Oh, don't you want Him to be your guide? He will guide you into all truth. Let's turn to John chapter 18 for a moment. John chapter 18. Beginning in verse 28. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled." It's kind of ironic, isn't it? They're getting ready to have Christ crucified, but they don't want to get defiled. They're going to stay ceremonially okay, but they're going to murder the Son of God, that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It's not lawful for us to put any man to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake concerning what death he should die. The death of crucifixion. That's the way the Romans put people to death. Enemies of the state. Jews weren't allowed to do that. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered him, "I Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." I hope you and I can remember that. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, you are a king then, or are thou a king then? You're claiming to be, have a kingdom. Are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now that lets us know how important truth is. This is why I came into the world, to bear witness unto the truth. And the truth is always going to have an audience. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the eternal Son of God, nailed to a cross, having that cross lifted up and dropped into the stand, and there he is. That's the truth. That is the truth concerning the true character of God. Every attribute of God is displayed in the crucifixion of his Son, Jesus Christ. His eternal purpose, his absolute sovereignty, his holiness, his love, his power, his wisdom to make a way to be just and justify the ungodly, his power to execute it. His every attribute of God is displayed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us the truth concerning God. Tells us the truth concerning me. The only accurate assessment that I really have of myself is the cross. Well, I've done some bad things, not near as bad as killing the Son of God. That's the problem. That's God's issue with you. That's God's issue with me. We have hated his Son so much that we killed him. And you would have been right there with him had you been there apart from his grace. That's how bad you are. That's how bad I am. An actual hatred of God that is manifest in what we did to his Son. That's how bad you and I are. You know, when we preach, I hope we're not just trying to convince people to agree with us on doctrines. We're talking about who God is, who man is. I see that. I'm going to see the truth regarding salvation. Turn with me for a moment to Colossians 1. Beginning in verse 20. Now here's the truth with regard to God's salvation. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. And here's what that blood accomplished: to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is what he accomplished by the blood of the cross. Now, the cross is salvation. Now, the truth. Here's another example of the way the word is used. I love it in Galatians chapter 2. We read this phrase twice in Galatians chapter 2. It would be a benefit to me and you to go back and read it. We read of the truth of the gospel. And there were two events that took place in Galatians chapter 2. First, Titus, that's who he's writing to right now. I think that's kind of neat, isn't it? This is the man he was writing to. But Titus, some people wanted to circumcise him. They said, he needs to be circumcised. And Paul refused to do it. He said, we didn't give him a minute's thought that the truth of the gospel might remain. You see, if he would have submitted to circumcision, he would have been saying, Jesus Christ is not all. You're better off being circumcised. And the other event is when Peter doesn't say anything. All Peter does is move tables. He's eating with the Gentiles. He's eating pork or chicken or whatever it was, maybe scallops or shrimp. You couldn't eat that under the law. And he was having a good time. And then these fellows from Jerusalem come who were Jews and who were, Peter thinks, what are they going to think about me being with these people? Without saying a word, he gets up and moves tables and sits down with the Jews and eats with them. And by that movement, without saying a word, he's saying, Jesus Christ is not all. It's better for me to be at this table than that table. And Paul publicly gave him a public reprimand. He said that the truth of the gospel might remain. Did you know that there's no such thing as trusting Christ without hearing and believing the truth of the gospel? I want you to think about what I just said. There is no such thing as trusting Christ, true faith in Christ, without hearing and believing the gospel. Now, let's make good on that in the scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, because I don't want to say these things without seeing that it is, in fact, what the Bible teaches. Verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? God the Father. He's the first one to trust His Son. You know, He trusted His Son to save me. He gave me to His Son and trusted Him completely to do everything in my salvation. Oh, how He trusted His Son. But we trust the same one the Father does, don't we? But He's the one who first trusted Jesus Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation. You didn't trust until you heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation. Now, here's what happens. When you hear the gospel, you find out God saved you. That's what you find out. The Lord saved me. You know, please don't say things like, I got saved. The Lord saved me. That's just wrong language. It's wrong language. The Lord saved me by His grace. When you heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. When God the Holy Spirit gives you life, you know what you do? You believe the truth. What is the one evidence of God's saving work in you? The belief of the truth. If you really believe the truth, it's because you've been sanctified by the Spirit of God. I love the way the Lord said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now listen to this. This is found in John chapter 4 with regard to the truth. There is no worship of the living God apart from the truth. John chapter 17, God is spirit. That means he's other. He's not confined by place and time. He's other. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he who is spirit must give me a spiritual nature, the work of God the Holy Spirit. And there is no worship of God apart from being born of God, apart from being given a spiritual nature, one that you didn't have until God gave it to you. Remember when Adam fell, he died. Well, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually, though. And a lost man doesn't have a spirit. He has a soul, he has a body, but he doesn't have a spirit. When God saves somebody, they're birthed by the Spirit. And they have this spiritual nature. Well, what's the evidence? The truth. Spirit and truth. There is no spiritual worship apart from the truth. Listen to this scripture. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. God does not work independently of the truth. He just doesn't do it. Why should he? He's God. Well, he can't find anybody to preach it. Well, that's ridiculous. He gives people the truth to preach. And he gives people the grace to receive the truth. And that's what worship is. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Salvation is described in 1 Timothy 2:4 like this. Coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's salvation. Coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm not just talking about saying, yeah, I agree with that. You know, I see the Bible teaches that. No, this is coming to this knowledge, this saving knowledge that only God's elect have, this discernment, this perception of the truth. We've already read that faith is called the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Repentance is defined by Paul like this. In 2 Timothy 2:25, if God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. That's what repentance is. It's the acknowledgement of the truth. You used to didn't believe. You do now. Why? Your mind's been changed. And when your mind's been changed, you've changed your mind, haven't you? You change your mind after your mind's been changed. Yes, I've changed my mind. I used to didn't believe this way. I do now. Repentance, the acknowledgement of the truth. And there is no salvation apart from, now listen to this, and this is just as important. There is no salvation apart from the love of the truth. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who receive not the love of the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's in 2 Thessalonians, I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly right. You can look it up. Verse 10, though, the love of the truth. Now, I love the truth that the Bible is the Word of God, don't you? I love that. I'm so thankful for that. I love
what the Bible tells me with regard to the character of God. He really is God. He's absolutely sovereign and absolute control. He's God. I love the truth with regard to what the Bible tells me about myself. That I'm dead in sins by nature. That I can't save myself. Well, why do you love that truth? Because it teaches me not to look into myself, but to look somewhere else for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. I love the truth regarding the work of the triune God in salvation. Election by the Father. Redemption by the Son. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit. I love the truth that God causes His people to persevere all the way to the end. I love the truth. I don't just agree with it. I love it. And when somebody says something contrary to it, it upsets me because they're talking about the one I love. You see, going against the truth is going against the person who saved me, the person I love, the love of the truth. Now, I want to end where this service began. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 15? Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile woman, came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after. She's driving us crazy. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, that means one thing. I've only come to save the elect. I didn't come to save everybody. I only came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, first ignores her. That would have been rough. She comes crying from the depths of her heart with this great need in great respect to him. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You're the Lord. She came the right way and she came for the right thing. Have mercy on me. And he ignores her. Does she stop crying? No, she continues to cry to the extent that it was irritating the disciples. Send her away. She's driving us crazy. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what was her response to that? Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him. Now, this is so important. She had not received her request, but she worshiped anyway. You see, the Lord is to be worshiped with whatever he does with me or you. He's worthy of worship. And if he sends me to hell, he is worthy of worship. Then came she and worshiped, saying, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, there's no hope for me. I have nowhere else to go. Lord, help me. And then he says to her in verse 26, it's not meet. It's not appropriate. It's not right to take the children's bread, the gospel of my grace, and cast it to dogs. Now, there's only one way to take this from this woman. You're a dog. Look at her answer.
truth, Lord. If I ever heard the truth, this is it. Everything you're saying is the truth. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What you said is the truth. I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. I won't deny being a dog, but I'm your dog. And I'm not asking for a place setting with the children. Far be it from me to think of that. I'll be grateful for any crumbs that fall my way. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let me tell you what this lady did. She acknowledged the truth. That's what that looks like. She acknowledged the truth. May God give me and you the grace to acknowledge, to discern, to perceive, to embrace, to believe the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in His name, who is the truth, that we might be enabled by Your grace to acknowledge the truth of who You are, of who we are, and of who Thy Son is and what He did. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.